Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to this week's Brave New World programme. I'm John Harrison. The British Parliament, which has traditionally been a male stronghold, is changing rapidly as the new female Prime Minister, Theresa May, appoints female members of her cabinet. Britain now has women in key cabinet posts, such as Justine Greening as Education Secretary, Liz Truss as Justice Secretary and the first female Lord Chancellor. Then we have Amber Rudd to head counter-terrorism, and many more appointments just about to be made. It seems that Brits are finally smashing stereotypes that politics, with a few exceptions, is a male domain. But how far do these changes really go? Can the male bias in British politics at least be changed from the top down? To answer this question and many others, I'm very pleased to be able to welcome to this programme Resham Kotecha from Women to Win, which is an organisation campaigning to elect more Conservative women to the UK Parliament. Resham has a background as an economic advisor and parliamentary researcher, and was a prospective parliamentary candidate for Dulwich and West Norwood, which is a nice part of London, in 2015. Welcome to the programme, Resham.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Resham, is there traditionally male bias in British politics, not only because of male chauvinism, but because women themselves are simply reluctant to enter politics?
I think that's one part of it. I mean, we see throughout Women to Win work to get more women to enter politics. We support them as they apply. We support them through the interview process, which generally does favour men. If you have to stand up and speak in front of a room full of people, It helps to be bigger and taller and have a deeper voice, and it comes across with more gravitas, more easily. So I think partly it's about encouraging women to come forward. We don't have enough actually wanting to enter politics at the moment. And I think a big part of that is the focus, the extra scrutiny they get on what they wear, what shoes they've got on, how they do their hair.
Yeah.
Do they have kids? Do they not have kids? And that's something that a lot of women don't like the idea of, understandably so. I think the other thing is that we haven't seen enough women at the forefront of politics. So girls in schools or young women look at politics and they see a very male-dominated area and they don't see themselves entering that. So I think it's fantastic. We now have a female prime minister and lots of women at the top of politics, so that young women will look at that and think, I could do that one day.
Yes, I hear what you're saying, because it's a sort of, it would demand a real sort of shift, wouldn't it, in throughout society, bearing in mind, as you say, we
definitely
have a press which concentrates on what women and politicians wear more than what their policies are.
Yeah, and I think some of that is about what women write and what women read. If we didn't read those articles, if we stopped letting them be popular, people would stop writing them. So I think we do have to take some responsibility. So I, at the moment, refuse to read anything that focuses on what our new Prime Minister is wearing, what her shoes are like, The impact on her as a woman. You know, if it's woman-specific, I think, no, that's not what I want to focus on. And I think partly that's got to be a big part of how we move forward. I also think we've got a great job to do with educating the general population who normally see politics. When they see politicians, all they see is debating in the chamber. So it's important to be able to speak loudly and to project and to really, you know, encompass that kind of picture of what an MP is and what an MP does. And actually, an MP does so much more than that. And it's about educating the general public to say, a woman is just as qualified, just as capable, and just as good at the job as a man. And so, you know, women should come forward and do this. They'd be very good at it.
Mm-hmm. Just so that listeners can understand this in perspective, because a lot of our listeners are not in the UK.
Sure.
What percentage of people wanting to enter politics in the UK are women at the moment?
So I can only speak for the Conservative Party, as those are the figures I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly about 30% of candidates wanting to enter politics are women.
Mm-hmm.
And that tends to follow through. So 30% of women applying to be candidates are women, about 30% of candidates who get accepted are women, and about 30% of women applying for seats are women. Now, in the Conservative Party, Women to Win was established actually by Theresa May and Baroness Jenkin in 2005. And at that time, we only had 9% female MPs. Now, by 2010, 5 years later, that went up to 16%. And after the last election last year, we have 22% women. And we've done that without all women shortlists, without quotas. And personally, I think that's the right way to do it in a democracy. So we have seen a big move in the right direction. You know, in 11 and 10 years, really, we've gone from 9% to 22%, but there's still a long way to go.
Right. What you said earlier on fascinates me about the selection process. Now, I imagine sort of small, you know, local county halls or something, council halls, you know, with dim lighting and a kind of male selection, you know, panel.
Sure.
Is that what it's like?
It's not far off, but it's a very long process. And again, this is the way our party does it.
Yeah.
If you want to become a candidate, you have to sign up to central office, so the Central Conservative Association, and you say you want to do it, and there's a long application form and then a long assessment centre where they kind of test your understanding, your knowledge, your ability to work in a group, your ability to do the tasks that an MP has to do to see if you'd be good at the job.
Mm-hmm.
Once you pass that, you are officially on a candidate list, and only people on the candidate list can apply for seats. So then a constituency will say, we need a candidate to fight the election, and anyone on the list is able to apply for that seat. Then it goes to the local association. So Conservative members in that constituency, anyone can join. You just have to pay the membership fee. And the executive of the association will look at all the applicants, and they'll choose 10 to interview. And they'll interview all 10. You do a 3-minute speech, and then you get asked questions. And it could be anything. It could be about the EU. It could be about potholes. It could be about, you know, same-sex marriage. It really could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that, they choose 4 people to go through to a final. And at the final, all members of the local association are invited to come along. And they come along and they hear you give a speech and they hear you answer questions. And at the end of that, there's a ballot and all the members get to vote. So when you get selected for a seat in the Conservative Party, you've actually gone through a rigorous process where they've really made sure you are capable and that you can do the job. And then the final say is up to local members. So there's no parachuting in. There's no being able to be backed by an outside interest. You earn that place.
But then you mentioned, you know, executive committees and other, I'm sure there are lots of other committees involved. I mean, they would then have to become sort of gender equal in their approach. Are they gender equal in their approach? I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, a film I saw a long time about how Margaret Thatcher managed to battle her way in to become an MP. That was quite a story, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic story, and actually you've really addressed an important point here, is that it's not enough for us to just have women candidates coming forward. The people choosing have to also recognise that women are good enough and that they can do the job.
Yeah.
Now, we do have, generally, our membership is quite traditional. They're generally older and they're generally male. So what we at Women to Win have done, and we've had a lot of support from our new Prime Minister in doing so, is we, and David Cameron, to be fair to him, was very supportive of this as well. We've created videos where we interview men and women MPs and MPs from ethnic minority backgrounds to talk about the different aspects of the job.
Yeah.
And we've actually found that when that happens and when members see, when people who are voting see that actually there's so much more to the job of an MP than just debating in the chamber, we've actually found that then, with that understanding, they're a lot more likely to choose a woman or someone less traditional from a different background, from a different gender, from a different race. And actually, we're doing a lot to try and educate people. You're absolutely right. We do need more women to be on those selection panels. We need more women to be there voting so they can say, hang on a minute, I think we should have a woman representing us, because it's important to have diversity in our representation.
Right, let's take a short break here. Welcome back to Brave New World programme. Today we're talking about the fact, for about the first time in British politics at least, our cabinet is likely to be more or less gender equal. I'm joined by Reshma Kotecha from Women to Win to discuss this actually quite revolutionary development. Now, Reshma, if we have more women in politics, as it seems that we do now have, you know, how would it change, you know, things like prime ministers' question times? Because you know, at the moment, you know, up till Wednesday, we had Cameron and Corbyn, you know, really slanging it out, you know, throwing knives at each other. Now we're going to have May and Corbyn. Is it going to be the same sort of aggression? What I'm trying to ask in a rather clumsy way, will women change the way that politicians debate?
Do you know, I've been asked this before, and I've actually watched PMQs live, and I've been lucky enough to watch it in front of the grass screen, so you really feel like you're part of it.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible half an hour. There's a huge amount of adrenaline. It feels combative, and it's aggressive because these are 650 people who really care about what they do and who are genuinely passionate about the future of their country. They just disagree about the best way to do that and to achieve the best for our country.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, women are some of the loudest hecklers in the chamber, so I don't think that having more women will necessarily change it. I know that people say it will, but I'm not too sure it will, because by nature, you have that adrenaline running through you when you're in the chamber. Perhaps it will be a little quieter, perhaps it'll be a little bit more toned down, but I don't think it will be, if I'm honest, and actually, I don't necessarily think it should be. It's probably the only half an hour of politics that people love tuning into to watch on TV, and if it's got to have a little bit of show and performance about it to get people interested, then I'm all for that.
Yeah, but you know, times have changed since Margaret Thatcher was Prime Minister, when she was literally one of the only female MPs in the country. Now we have Theresa May really sort of pitched off against Nicola Sturgeon, the head of the National Scottish Party in Scotland. And I mean, I for one are fascinated to know what's going to happen there. You know, it's going to be something that we've never seen before in British politics, basically.
It's very interesting. And actually, it's not just those two. I mean, if you look at the UK, other than the UK Labour Party, who is led by Corbyn, we've got some incredible women. You look at Leanne Wood, Ruth Davidson, the Scottish Tory leader, who is a favourite of mine, Nicola Sturgeon, as you mentioned, Natalie Bennett of the Green Party. We have so many women at the forefront of politics. I think it's really exciting. I have younger nieces, and when I think about the fact that they'll grow up in a world where it is perfectly normal to see women leading political parties, I think that's absolutely brilliant. And we've come to that in a natural, positive way, where people, with Margaret Thatcher, people were surprised that she became Prime Minister. With Theresa May, we were in a position where everyone knew there would be one, if not two, women in the final, and everyone was supportive of that and wanted it to happen. And I think that shows how much things have changed in 30-odd years.
Yeah, and it's not just Britain, is it? I mean, it's like a sort of, as somebody said, I think in the New Statesman, it's like a new Bermuda Triangle of May, Merkel,
I know.
Possibly
Wouldn't
Clinton.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Three of the most powerful people in the world will be women.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, I'm wondering if the poor males will ever be let in again.
Well, they've had hundreds of years in power, so I'm not sure it's a bad thing if we get a couple of years at the front.
Yeah, and I guess what you're saying really is that this sort of discussion, in a way, will soon be outdated, because, as you quite rightly say, there should be nothing unusual about a female politician. It's just a sort of this.
I think the work Women to Win does is fantastic. I mean, we get male MPs and female MPs to train women, to coach them, to mentor them. We fundraise, we do policy events. We really work to try and make it normal for women to be selected, just as it is normal for men to be selected. And actually, it would be successful if we one day put ourselves out of a reason for existence. You know, we'll get to a point where you no longer need a woman to win, because women will be winning.
Yeah. And men will be men, by the way.
Men will be winning too, but I'd love to get to a point where we are reflective of society and we've got roughly half and half.
Right. Now, could this sort of be the beginning of a gender war? I mean, do you think that we could get in the negative side of it, if there is a negative side to it?
I really hope not.
We have had a gender war. We are in a gender war. But now it's taking on a new dimension.
I hope not. And I think, I mean, we at Women to Win, and I think it's very important, have recognised that this isn't about being better than men. This isn't about putting men down. This really is about working together and recognizing that as a democracy, as a country, we are stronger when we are all represented. And so I hope the way this progresses is to recognize that whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, we just care about it being the best person for that job. And as long as a man and a woman have equal opportunities to achieve that job and to achieve their success, then that's all that's important, and that's what matters.
Yeah, and of course that will then affect everything else. It will probably affect boardroom salaries, it will probably affect the way that management is selected, and so on and so on and so on, right across the country, presumably.
I certainly hope so.
Okay, right, thank you very much indeed, Resham Kotecha, for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you, listeners. Goodbye.
Brave New World.